Hey, welcome to the Night Church Podcast, where we meet every Friday evening for worship at the Loma Linda University Church for young adults by young adults. We hope this encourages you and someone else you know. Enjoy.
Got my stuff. Got my gear. You know, one of the blessings of being a young adult pastor is that I get to do life together with God's people in so many different spaces. One of the things that I get asked pretty regularly for people to sit down with me is, Pastor, I just don't know why, but I feel so distant from God. That feeling just isn't there. That chemistry. It's like that girl I tried to talk to and she was like, not going to work now, man. And so he goes the other way. It's just, I don't know why, but Pastor, I don't have that feeling of connection with God. What can I do? You know, it's a funny thing. I saw this meme about that idea. This one kind of therapist was saying, hey, why is it that I feel like I'm just depressed? And the therapist goes on. She's like, okay, well, have you been sleeping well? Not really. Have you been eating well? No, kind of not, actually. Do you drink 8 to 10 glasses a day of water? You know what? I don't. Do you have regular friendship connections with people? You know, I've been struggling with that. Oh, do you know about, you know, the idea of serving others? Do you do anything to kind of help your community? I don't really have time for that. And any other things you're struggling with? I got debt and I don't have a car. It isn't any wonder why you're having mental health issues. Sometimes it's the most practical things that aren't in your life that cause the distance between you and God. Last 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kelly brought up this idea of listening to the Lord's Prayer and letting that be a rhythm of your life, letting the parts of both our prayers to God and the prayers that we internalize through the Lord's Prayer bless you, kind of giving you a practice to implement. But you see, it's really tough because we live in an age that has now been dubbed as the anxious age. It's really tough to live in this world right now because people, in many ways, whether you like it or not, have crafted the world that we live in very uniquely. Now, I tell you, others have crafted it, and you're like, well, who's made that? Who's made it anxious? There's a lot of reasons why it's anxious. Listen to this. As many researchers have dubbed this age overly anxious for various reasons. Number one, overprotection from parents for the pain and failures their children might face. Helicopter moms and dads. Misguided focus on material success. Hey, get the title, get the degree, get the car, get the thing, get the girl, get the guy, get the diploma, get that job, get those clothes. The allure of the gods of beauty, money, and pleasure, as Timothy Keller calls it in the book Counterfeit Gods. But another approach why this age has been dubbed the anxious age might be a little bit different and more technological. In his instant New York Times best-selling book, The Anxious Generation, Professor Jonathan Haidt builds the case of how we interact with technology, particularly the screens and devices around us, that have literally rebuilt the neural pathways of how we connect with not only the world around us, but actually how we connect with each other. And he writes about how the fact that many young children are shaped in such a way that their way of connecting with people has caused them, as they get into their young adult years, a mental health pandemic. A lot of people think COVID was a big deal, but I'll tell you what's an even bigger deal is, as Professor Haidt says, the way in which we interact with our brain. Now, it's a really powerful thing to realize that a device that someone created could literally shape the way you interact with the world around you, causing you and I to live in a constant state of anxiety. You see, in our desire to never be alone with our thoughts and feelings, we've succumbed to the lie that a device can replace real relationships that have conflict and connection, communication, and can provide real community. And yet we run to this in a way of drowning out maybe our fears or maybe the loneliness that we feel. And a device can actually shape so much. You see, real relationships are where you find your place in the world. In my studies on young adulthood over the past years, I've realized there are three main factors that every young adult needs so deeply: identity, purpose, and especially belonging. Belonging is shaped by real relationships with human beings that you can touch and feel. Ones that can give you a hug and an embrace. Ones that can call you out. Ones that can hurt you. Relationships that are fragile and fragmented, divisive, broken. Relationships that can bring love and tenderness, compassion, touch. Real relationships. But in this age of the desire for these three things of identity, purpose, and belonging, if any of those are misaligned or even missing, it can bring about a space of fear, anxiety, and unfortunately, unhealthy decision-making for young adults. I don't know how many of you have ever been in that space. Have you ever thought about your life in the past or maybe even present? Have you reflected on the fact like, you know what? I absolutely know my identity in Jesus. I know who I am. When I walk into spaces, I can walk into them confidently. I don't have a sense of fear about me. You know, I'll tell you, there was a time I felt so unsure about my identity. You know what it was? When I was a youth pastor. I was like, dude, these kids, man, they've got clothes I don't even know if I could ever wear. They got slang and terms. I have no idea what they're talking about. And man, they can be hurtful, these punks. I remember being at dinner one time with my brand new leaders who I'd inherited from the previous youth pastor. We sat down and I'd been there about a month and one of them looks at me and she's like, you know what, pastor? You're just not as spiritual as our previous pastor. And I'm like, okay. I tried to kind of recover by trying to learn a little bit more, but I really was just so insulted, I want to kick him in the shins. But instead, I was like, well, what do you mean? Tell me a little bit more. Well, just, you know, the way the previous pastor talked about his surfing, just when he was out in the waves, it just felt so spiritual. I was connected with the earth. And when you talk, I just don't feel that. All right, you know what? Forget it. I'm done. So I left youth ministry and came to young adults. Just kidding. I'm kidding. No, but I'm not kidding. You know, identity is a big one. Purpose is a huge one. That we have something that compels us in the world, something that drives our every waking moment. When we get up in the morning, that we can say, God, I'm so glad that I am here. That the world's pain is met with my holy gifts that you've given me and talents where I can make a difference in the world. Man, that's such a beautiful thing. And then this idea of belonging, having a sense of home in the world. A place that you can go back to and feel like you're known. A place where you can feel safe and not always under attack. Because when you open the news, you're under attack. When you open social media, you feel like you're breaking the 10th commandment all the time. Man, I wish I was there. I wish I had that. I wish I could be. But when you walk into a space where you feel like there's belonging, you feel okay again. But the anxious age has robbed us of so much of that. It has robbed us of our sense of understanding, our identity in Christ. It's robbed the sense of purpose as we look at the world around us. We feel like everyone else is doing great things, and what am I doing? And it's robbed us of a sense of belonging as it's ripped real relationships from our hands as we stare at screens more than we do at the two eyeballs of those next to us and around us. You know, I was asked by one of our elders just this week in one of our team meetings, Pastor, you know, how do we get back to this idea of just feeling so connected with people? And particularly, we're talking about this connection with God. Because a lot of us struggle actually with apathy. We just don't really care anymore about our walk with God or even Jesus. It feels like it's a cliche thing. Hey, Jesus loves you. Okay, and so what? What about that? He loves me? Okay. I mean, you know, my mom loves me too. No, but Jesus loves you. You know, the Bible tells in the book of Revelation that there is a church that has arisen in which they have lost their first love, their affection for real relationship, a real connection with God. And so this elder on our team, Derek, he was like, how do you rekindle that? But tell it to me through the lens of a romantic married man. I don't know if he was trying to say something about me. I feel like I'm a romantic, yes. But what he was driving at, I believe, is this idea of how do you think about it through a human relationship? And so I told him two things, two really practical things. I said, listen, if you want to have a strong marriage, it really takes 30 minutes of communication every day. It's basic. It's not even rocket science. Right now, I feel like we're two ships in the night as my wife's finishing residency. Hey, you watch the kids now. Okay, I got them now. Okay, let's clean this. Hey, let's take that out. Okay, finally this week we had a date. Whole day together, Wednesday, I cleared my schedule. Lena's like, this happened to just come upon me. The day I get off, Philip, let's do something. I said, I'm going to move the mountains. I changed every meeting I had. I'm so sorry. I got a really important meeting with the most important person in my life who's here on this earth, my wife. All right, Pastor, no problem. We'll do it another day. And we just hung out for a day. I can't remember that we did that in the last few years. A whole day, just the two of us. But we try and find ways to fight for that connection together every day. Just a little communication. And I can't wait. 7 weeks from now, she's finishing residency. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. She's going to work 3 days a week. That's pretty good. But 30 minutes of communication, a direct communication with the person. The second thing I said to him, I said, listen, you got to praise each other. You have to praise each other every single day. When she walks out of the bathroom ready for her day, I'm like, girl, you look so good. Man, wow, I'm so glad I'm married to you. Elena, I love that dress. I love how you did your makeup. Oh man, your hair looks great. I want her to know how she cares for our children. When she cooks a meal, I appreciate it because praise is important. When we think about our walk with God, thinking about it through a human lens, it all of a sudden makes a little bit more sense. I'm doing this thing called the 30-day challenge with some guys of mine. And one of the acts in the 30-day challenge is this idea that you're going to communicate and spend time with God 30 minutes every single day, just as you would with a human being that you're in love with. And so the question then we should ask ourselves is, if you have to fight for your relationship with your wife in a busy age, how much more do you and I have to fight for our walk with God in a distracted age when technology consumes our every interest? I'd rather scroll than I would pray. I'd rather scroll than I would open the Bible. I'd rather scroll than spend time in meditating upon the blessings that God is in Christ Jesus, who has died for us on the cross, who has given us everything we need in Him, as Paul says. Wow. When we were getting married, I sat there with our marriage counselor, and he said, Pastor, soon to be pastor rather at that time, I need you to understand, you're going to have a lot of great things that the church is going to call you to do. But your wife needs one thing from you that you would fight for with every bone in your body, every nerve ending, every cell. Fight for your walk with Jesus. Because the moment you stop fighting for your walk with Jesus and having that time to commune with Him, you will be a rogue male. One who goes around this earth thinking they are the highest authority on every matter. Well, I know what to do. Oh, do you? But what does the Lord want you to do? Have you communed with Him about this? Have you talked to Him about this? You see, the connection that we need with God is as basic as just that. Sitting with Him. I'm going to give you the answer to the whole thing, this whole problem with a basic Bible verse. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. If you got a Bible with you, pull it out. Read this with me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Speaking to this anxious age, listen to this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by what? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by what? Come on, church. By what? By your cell phone. By extra money and picking up shifts in the hospital. By getting married. By getting a title. By getting a nicer car. By buying a house. By doing this. By doing that. By what will solve the anxiety of our lives? Come on, church, what?
Prayer.
Relationship with a real person who is both God and our Savior, Jesus. And he says, bring everything by prayer to me and with your petitions, with thanksgiving, with what? Praising. Did I say that earlier about a human relationship? Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I don't even need to break out the Greek to give you some kind of new foundational understanding here. It's basic. Spend time with him and praise him. And it will be a shield in your mind and heart against the anxious age we're living in. It's not complex. The only hard thing is if we can put this down so that we can actually sit at his feet and learn from him. You know, I'm going to let you in on an answer here. You know how every Bible teacher says, hey, what is the right answer? And usually we'll say what? Come on now. Come on now. Man, people, come on. Jesus. You're wrong. It's prayer with Jesus. You see, I love how Ellen White puts this. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to him. When you and I pray, we create a thin space in the world, a moment in which we are elevated into the realms of holy things, where we can sit at the feet of Jesus and God can minister to our brokenness, minister to our insecurities of our identity, minister to our lack and feeling of community and belonging, minister to us so that we might find a sense of purpose. God, please, do you hear me? But it isn't so complex that you need special words to say and folding your hands in a certain way and bowing down, which are all good things. But it's just talk to them. Communicate with them. But this is the problem for us today, though. We're the generation who doesn't know how to connect with real people. And so as beautiful as this passage, this quote is, you see, for many of us, prayer is complicated by the fact that our neural pathways literally in our brain have been reprogrammed the opposite direction. I'd rather stare at the screen than I would sit under the feet of the Father who is in all places. You see, I can't judge us though, because I know for my early life and most of it, I couldn't pray more than a few seconds. I just couldn't. I would start praying, and I was a pastor's kid. Now, you know, you got a bunch of ideas about pastor's kids, okay? I was a pretty good one. I was a Pharisee. You see, I didn't understand what prayer really was, and I didn't feel and know the real impact that my prayer life could have on me and others. I had this opportunity between college to go with one of my good friends, Nick Snell, to be student missionary youth pastors at a school. And we made this commitment at the beginning of the year, hey, we're going to pray together about things. And after a few of those sessions that we had in prayer, I was fed up with his prayer life. I would pray these simple, shallow, self-centered prayers, and then Nick would start on these sermonic prayers, man. He would be praying about everything. But when he would pray, man, it was like he was literally in the presence of God. But I was just not having it. I after like the third time, I literally stood up, I remember this, in the middle of his prayer, and I was like, bro, you gotta calm down. Relax, man. I can't do this anymore with you. You're praying these sermons every time. I can't pay attention that long. We got stuff to do. These kids are knocking at our door. I'm feeling what? Anxious. Because I think we've got better things to do. How many of us think we've got better things to do? Better people to be hanging out with. Better movies to be watching. Shows to be engaging with. Books to be reading. Podcasts to be listening to. And they could be good things too. Good people even. But if it's misaligned and you prioritize everything else but the kingdom, but the master, is it going to actually lead to healing the anxiety of the soul? That year, Nick taught me about what it meant to commune with God as one who's my friend. And it changed my life forever. At 19 years old, I really became a Christian for the very first time. Because I spent time with him. I had these impassioned prayers I prayed through the night. I felt like I was Moses and burning bushes were everywhere. Every night I was praying and I'm like, God, wow. God, oh man. Wow, Lord. And I was sitting in the sanctuary of that little church we were pastoring and helping at. And it felt like the thinnest space ever. I felt like I was in the house of God for the very first time in my life. After being a professional minister kid all those years, for the first time, it was because I sat down for myself to be with him.
I'm so glad that you've been listening to the first part of the sermon. This sort of production does require some financial cost. If you'd like to reach more young adults with this across the world, would you consider giving at praxisministry.org? You can select the Praxis Young Adult envelope. Enjoy the rest of the sermon.
You see, rabbis would teach their disciples prayers they could recite habitually, prayers and spiritual tools, making them look seemingly spiritual to the world around them. But the question for many onlookers of Jesus and his disciples was, are you guys going to do anything spiritual? Because what you're doing doesn't even look like you're doing anything spiritual. I mean, what you guys are doing looks like you are Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 5, verse 33. It says, and they looked and they said, the disciples of John fast and they offer prayers to do things like the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours, they just eat and drink. I'm going to get back to prayer, but listen to this for a moment. You see, we have to understand that they weren't wasting their time. They were doing what everyone thought were non-spiritual things in a new way that was going to bless the world. Because they were with Jesus all the time. And he was on mission to transform the world. I love how Ministry of Healing says this by Ellen White. Listen to Jesus' style of ministry. She says, Christ's method alone could give true success to reaching people. Christ's method. The Savior mingled with people as one who desired their good and showed sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. And then he invited them. Hey, come follow me. Spend time with me. You see, if you want to be changed by God, you have to walk with him and learn from him, being in his presence and then going and doing as he did. Prayer is one of the most beautiful things because it transforms our doing. When we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, people are like, I don't know how to do God's will. I don't know. Friend, I just have to ask you a couple questions. Number one, how much time are you spending at the feet of Jesus every day? And then number two, what's your confidence level when he speaks to do the things he calls you to do? His method will change your doing, but it doesn't happen unless you're sitting under his feet. Lord, I want to learn from you. Jesus wasn't simply interested in making a few disciples like John. He was interested in transforming the world itself. But his methods would be different. But did that mean he would leave his disciples out to hang? Hey, I'm not going to give you any spiritual tools to do the great work that you're called to do. No, that isn't true. And they weren't just simply hanging out with people. And they weren't just missing the opportunity to minister the heart issues of the soul without tools that would help people find meaning to life's greatest questions and lead lives of significance in a world of pain. No, he wouldn't leave them like that. No, Jesus would help them and guide them in such a way that they would learn to walk with him and learn from him and then do as he did. Jesus didn't mind if they didn't behave like him at the beginning. He didn't. Some of you are like, bro, I don't feel like I'm that big of a Christian. Pastor, I can't talk to Jesus that long. I was kind of like you when you were young. Hey, listen, I understand. That's okay. Because we are all accepted in the house of God, no matter how we feel about our spiritual condition right now. You see, being in Jesus' inner circle doesn't mean you're the best prayer around. Hey, bro, can you pray pretty good? All right, you're in. Come. You suck at praying? Bro, I got no space for that. Get out of here. You're pretty good? You can pick up the call when you need to, when I'm calling? Hey, dude, I'm preaching right now. Okay, I'll call you back. That's the thing with the connection with God. He's always calling. Are you ready to pick up? That was unplanned. I'm going to call him back. That's our fire chief here in the city. You see, Jesus let everybody in. And it didn't matter how spiritual they might have felt, because it doesn't matter how great of a praying person you are. Sometimes people wonder, God, can I come into your church? Some of you watching right now online, you're wondering, can I even be part of this church community? I don't know. I don't feel that worthy. Can a person who's had an abortion be here? Can a person who's done some really bad things? Can a person who's sleeping with their boyfriend or girlfriend? Can a person who's part of the spectrum of letters, LGBTQAI and more? Can a person who's been divorced? Can someone who's made mistakes? Can someone who cusses? Can someone who drinks alcohol? And the list goes on. Can they be part of it? Absolutely. Take a number, buddy. Because I'm one of those who's got the list in my own life. Sometimes what hinders us from simply doing the basic act is sometimes we feel like we're not worthy. That might be part of it. Other times we think of the fact that, hey, we're distracted. But you see, Jesus says all are welcome in his presence and can sit at the feet of the Master and be changed and can learn from him and can do as he did. When Jesus sat at the feet of a woman who came to a well and sat with her, and everyone was kind of gone and she was alone, she was able to listen to Jesus. Someone who was an outsider could learn from a rabbi. Another time when Jesus was brought a woman thrown to him down at his feet. Hey, this woman, we're going to kill her because she has a list, man. And Jesus starts with his finger in the sand, drawing out the list of every man who was standing around her. I know your list. They started dropping the rocks. Okay. And this woman could learn from Jesus. And then he beckoned her to do as he did. Hey, listen, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. You're going to be one of me. I'm cool with you. I'm not only cool with you, I want you to join me. Come follow me. Come be part of our community. So we enter into this space now where Jesus then tells his people, what do I do? What do I do to commune with you? How do I do that? Let's just look at this very briefly for the last few moments that we have together. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, it tells us the following. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. In essence, your spirituality that you do in front of other people for the show of it, who cares? You serve here at church because you want to get to know that girl? I appreciate it, but the Lord, I don't know. Right? He sees the heart. He knows when we're being fake. He's like, I want to just honest, authentic you, the raw version. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen, and then your Father who sees that in secret will reward you. The most basic thing for every single one of us is just come to Him as you are. You don't have to make a show of it. And do that at all times and in all spaces. I've been trying to practice the habit of praying more intentionally and more often throughout my days. Just bringing my raw, honest self. I'm not getting on my knees, but I'm walking and I'm just thinking, God, I'm so distracted. Man, Lord, let's talk. I feel disconnected. God, let's talk. This is on my mind. Lord, I feel like I'm not doing well as a parent. Lord, will my wife ever finish this degree? Lord, these young adults, man, they got me going. And I'm just talking to them. Just bringing my honest self. That's the first thing that Jesus wants every single one of us to do. Just bring who you are. Second thing that we're going to look at just here is this final thing that we're going to do, and I'm going to call the band to come up. Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 through 4. And one day while Jesus was praying in a certain place. You see, Jesus had a place where he prayed. How many of us might need certain times and spaces that we set aside for meeting with God? Bring your honest self, but also think about how to bring some intentionality to that walk with the Lord. Bring a certain time and space in which you're going to connect with Him. That's the second reality. You've got to be intentional with your walk with the Lord, because that will transform who you are and what others will then see of you. How do I know that? Because look at what happened with his disciples. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. You see, his disciples would see Jesus praying and they were like, man, this guy, he's communing with his Father in heaven and this is changing him. I want to be like that. You know, it's so interesting. His disciples waited so patiently and they observed their prayer. We're teaching our kids to learn how to communicate with us in public. One of the biggest things they love to do is just interrupt in the middle of every conversation. Tata, 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 mama, mama. You know, just in the middle, man, I'm doing stuff. We're talking. Yes. Sorry. And I'm teaching them to just put a hand on my thigh or on my arm, and then I'll put a hand on them and acknowledge them. And then we take some time and we stop a conversation. I say, yes, Petra, yes, John, let's talk. You see, my children are learning that there are times and places in which I don't mind being interrupted at all, actually. I want to communicate with them whenever. But they're learning the intentionality of taking time out of their life to just say, hey, I need you. I need you right now. And these interruptions that they do, you know, it's so different with the Father, because He doesn't look at those as interruptions like we do as parents. He says, interrupt me whenever you want, because you are the most important person to me. The disciples waited patiently and they were eager to learn how to communicate, because they understood the temptations of the age that they were in their first century and the struggles that they had. And they wanted to learn how to communicate with the Father that would change their lives. Friends, it's not that hard. And yet, It's also so beautiful because the Father says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, John 10:10. And that starts with you just simply bringing your honest self to Him. And secondly, setting some time aside when you can commune with Him. So this week, the practical lesson for you and me is just this. Pastor Kelly told us last week, hey, recite the Lord's Prayer. And we didn't even go into it. But I want you to take some time to just bring your honest self to God every single day in your life this week. But also do it intentionally. Think about when you're going to do that. Can I challenge you right now, if you don't have a dedicated time to meet with Jesus, would you think of a moment right now when you think, you know what, in my day, I'm going to try this time and I'm going to dedicate 30 minutes this week. I'm not saying the whole week, every day you're going to do it perfectly. No. What time in the day of this week are you going to do it when you're the most alive? Because a lot of times we'll get to the end of our day and it's like, Lord, and that's okay for a time when you're a child. But when you're a man and a woman who's facing the temptations of this age, you need time with the Father like an adult. Paul tells us, I am so frustrated. I have to keep teaching you like a kid needing milk from your mama when I want to give you hardcore meat to eat. And Jesus wants to minister to you in your time of need, praying for your future and the anxieties of your soul. Jesus wants to bless you, but you've got to be with Him and giving Him real time when you can really be with Him. And so this isn't one of those sermons that I'm beating you over the head. It's just one of those sermons in which it's like, do you want life change? Come to the Father. Spend time with Him. And so sing this song with us now in worship. And let it be a prayer that ministers unto your heart. And if you're hearing the words tonight and you're like, God, man, I need you. I actually want you to come up while the song is going. And I want you to just spend some time right up here at the throne of God. Here at the moment right here, just let the Lord minister to you in song. And I'm going to have a special time of just prayer over all of you. As God changes every single one of us, as we worship Him, spending time with Him and praising Him, learning to walk with the Father.
Thank you so much for listening to the Night Church Podcast. We hope you've been blessed by this sermon, and if you have, maybe you can share this with a friend. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can follow us on social media at Praxis Ministry, or come visit us in Loma Linda on a Friday evening. We'll see you in the next episode.